I feel like that's some shit Doug McDermott would do coming out of a long quarantine.
Yeah, I mean, I believe
six
that. Yeah.
6 days of maybe only Netflix in not your hometown, not even your like home team town. Yeah. Basically, probably stuck in a hotel for 6 days straight. Can't leave the room. Whom among us wouldn't watch Emily in Paris?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Full Court Mess. I'm Jared, and my prediction for the week is that Joel Embiid will score 50 points in a game. Which is cheating, because that just happened.
But we are recording live.
Yeah,
4 hours before the timestamp.
Yes. Yeah, 4 hours before the incredible Mo Bamba 28 half.
My name is Joe. My prediction for the week is that the Sixers end up, maybe it's not for the week, it's until the trade deadline, which is in what, 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Getting ahead of it here. I'm going to be gone. The Sixers will accept a trade for Ben Simmons that will be worse than the 2 or 3 mock trades we've heard that have been offered to them by the Kings and Pistons. They will end up accepting a trade that is worse than both of those. That is
good prediction. We'll go over those later too.
For Will's official prediction, I'm going to go with the PJ Dozier, Bulbul, and whoever the hell the third guy was, trade is going to shape the finals picture in the NBA for years to come.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So, does anybody remember actually who was involved in that trade?
It was Bryn Forbes.
Oh, Bryn Forbes, sorry. The Nuggets. The biggest piece, Bryn Forbes to the Nuggets.
Bulbul is, really quick. Let me start with
and Wancho
Pod's first apology.
Don't forget him.
Let me start with the podcast first apology to the late Pistol Pete. As in last week's discussion about LeBron hating the pull the trigger bang, we forgot about Pistol Pete. Second apology relating to this is let me apologize to LeBron James, who I had forgotten is in Fortnite, where you shoot people with guns and kill them.
I also an apology. I've been slandering the Wizards forever, but it seems we've finally figured out why they refuse to go back to the name the Bullets. They are blocked by the league's most influential player.
Hmm. How could we forget? All right.
I got a. Well, here's just one on my mind this morning. If any. With this 10-day spree, I know it's been going on for a little bit, but all the remembering some guys that's happening. If you could pick any currently living NBA player, former, present, to grab a 10-day contract, who would you choose? I was doing some thinking. I just really wish I could see Fat Lever get in for a game with Nikola Jokic, play for a week, watch a triple-double.
I was thinking along the same lines, but I'm going to go with Yao Ming.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, check this out.
I bet he still got it.
I'm calling on Kings legend Simbular. It's big boy season. I want him matched up against Boban Marjanovic. And I want to see who can ball.
That's perfect. They should allow, anytime a team can't play a game because they don't have enough guys, there should be a team of 15 remember some guys on 10-day contracts that you can sub into play anytime, and it's Yao, it's Fat Lever, it's Simbular. They're all running out there. They're probably one of the better teams in NBA history but will be kept out of the postseason picture due to politics.
Mm-hmm. It'll be fun.
It'll be a good one.
Some Bular's playing out in like China now, I think.
Is he? Well, Enos Freedom is going to tweet at him that he's betrayed his country or something. Dumb shit.
Wait till Enos comes out. Oh my god.
Yao Ming, speaking of Yao Ming, he said publicly that Enos Freedom is welcome to come visit China whenever he wants. and he'll like show him around.
I really despise Enos Freedom. Like I said, I think he's a grifter without a genuine bone in his body. But the one thing I'll give him credit for is if I was him, yeah, I would not be going on any international flights. he doesn't have to be genuine to definitely be on like Erdogan and China's like shit list now. That's a man who's a domestic.
Yeah.
I think I shared it in our chat and I just said, get his ass, Yao.
Yao's not lying. He's like, you are welcome to come here. Yeah. I'm not going to promise what's going to happen once you make it, but you're welcome to come.
Oh, man. What would be like, which player is like the opposite of Ennis?
Anthony Edwards.
Okay.
Just straight talk, 100% of the time. Yep.
Not a fake bone in his body, man. He couldn't lie if he wanted to.
Here's a different kind of opposite. Dennis Rodman.
Yeah. Except widely accepted in North Korea. Ennis could never.
That's what I'm saying. He's like, nah, we're all friends.
Dennis Rodman could safely enter any country on the planet. That's an excellent observation.
Yeah.
And was good at defense.
Yeah, that's huge.
A championship cog, great at defense. People like him and could safely enter any country on the planet. He is the polar opposite.
Not only he could safely enter any country on the planet and befriend any country's leader.
Yeah. The worm. Shout out the worm. And
is good enough to hang with the Globetrotters. So.
Yep.
And it's couldn't do any globetrotting stuff. Any of that.
Literal or on the team.
Ennis is a Washington general if I've ever seen one. To his CIA ties.
Yep. Man, what notable stuff happened. Here's something that stood out to me this week. After there's a fun Nuggets game last week, a few days ago. I don't know. Time is weird.
Was it the game where Jokic had a triple double in 20 minutes?
I don't think it was that one.
Okay.
But that was cool. But post game, you know, the on court interview on TV, the reporter asks what he thinks of people kind of disrespecting him and not really talking about him in the MVP conversation, all that. And he says, I like it. I like when people are talking about me good. I like when people are kind of disrespecting me. Either way, it fuels me. Follow-up question. How did you feel about your coach, Michael Malone, saying that you are not sexy? And Jokic says, I like it.
And he basically said, he's right.
He's just like, I like it. And then that was it for the interview.
Where was everyone this past week for the Nick Batum game?
I had no idea there was a Nick Batum game.
Yeah, just, I was not watching.
Just how he likes it. Let's see if I can find the quote. Okay. He joined an exclusive group of players with a performance this year.
We don't get a lot of performances in the NBA.
No, that's for damn sure. Let's see.
Wait, what game was this? Who did they play? Pull up the stats.
Yeah, I'm furiously googling. He went for.
Is it the Pacers game?
It was the Yes, Pacers game where he scored 35 points in the second half. And they listed like all the guys who would manage to do that in one half this year, and it's like Giannis, Embiid, and Steph or something like that. And they asked Nick about that. He said he was honored for all of those guys to get to join him in his club.
Amazing.
He said they should all feel really honored that they now share this space with me.
That's awesome. We need more guys like that.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, I was gonna move on to another thing. So give your shout out. I want to hear it.
My shout out to Nick Batum. I always have a special place in my heart for players that just entirely give up on the team they're on and then go to another team that's more interesting and instantly revitalize themselves.
Yeah.
Double shout out if within 2 years of you doing that, the team you left is more fun than the team you're now on.
That's fair. What do you got, Joe?
What about Devin Booker getting mad at the only fan in the entire building at the Raptors game?
That was so damn weak, man.
It's so dumb. Like, Raptors, the mascot would have been doing that if the fans were there, right?
What's the point of having a mascot if they're not allowed to do that?
Yeah.
100%.
The mascot's not allowed to go stand in the corner.
So the arena was empty in Toronto because of COVID protocols in Canada. They are not allowing gatherings anymore like that, or for the time being. And near the end of the game, I think the Suns are up one or up two. Booker's at the line, 90%+ free throw shooter. The one person in the building, the Raptors mascot, is trying to distract him behind the hoop. Devin makes his free throw and then tells him to get out of the way and like beckons to the other people like in the arena, like, can we get this guy out of here? And they make him go take a knee in the corner.
Like, move him.
Absolute police behavior.
He's after the game though, it's kind of funny because they asked him about that. And he's like motioning to like, I think it's like Jay Crowder and CP. He's like, these guys do it in practice all the time, like trying to do that shit when I'm shooting. I hate it. I tell them to move. And then they're like, did you say anything to the mascot? He's like, oh, we're cool now. We're cool. Like, they gave him made up.
He gave him a classic car.
Yeah.
Where's that video? There's a video of Devin Booker. I don't know if they were practicing for like Team USA or it was something, where they were double teaming Booker when
it's a pickup game.
We're not double teaming.
It's like summer pickup
teaming. Are you kidding me?
It's just a pickup game in a gym.
So he's like, it's not that serious. So we're like, yeah, we're double teaming you. You're that good. We're double teaming you. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Devin Booker only plays by a very specific set of rules, apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah. It's so. I think it was like, I think John Boy said this in a video, but that thing with the mascot was like very weird because it's like one of those things that makes the mascots very human, because it's like so awkward for the mascot who is doing his job. And then it's just like very awkwardly like wandering over to the corner and just kind of sitting down and like, what did I do wrong?
It's just, well dressed like a dinosaur.
Yeah,
I want to see him like take the head off and just like be like really evaluating his life there.
Like, do you think he got in trouble for like being a part of something that like caused a scene and drew attention, or do you think like his bosses were like, oh, fuck off, like Devin Booker's a weirdo?
I bet it was more the latter.
I hope so.
Like, if anything, it was like, oh, it got us some publicity for this mascot, like. In the end, it's about views on social media with a lot of these things. So
Devin Booker's the dude where you go over. He's your friend where you go over to play like Halo at his house or something like that. And then right when you're about to play, he lets you know that he only plays in a modded instance where like it's 300% speed, 50% gravity, and like gravity hammers only.
Yeah, you're playing Smash. And he's like, you can't use half of these characters.
Yeah. Let's take all these items off. I don't like these.
He gets double the stock that you get.
We can't do the hammer because it evens the playing field once in a while. We can't have the hammer on. Okay.
He's like, no screen peeking.
Probably alienated our like three viewers here. They're all gone now. The hammer is off. Are you serious?
Great call, Jared. He's absolutely a guy
who smash. So when I play against, I'm so terrible at it. So the hammer is like my only chance to even come close to winning ever.
Mm-hmm. My smash fave like modded instance is just to play it with every item off except for Pokeballs and then turn them up to very high, so the whole match is just us throwing Pokeballs at each other.
It's like Pokemon chaos. I love it.
It's awesome. It's great. It's like, yeah, occasionally we'll fight, but this is really just going to be about Heart of the Cards.
Yeah. No, I'm all about that. We definitely do that here sometimes. I'm a full supporter. If there's Pokemon in the game, you got to use them.
Absolutely. Speaking of Devin Booker, he got posted by NBA's Twitter feed today. Because it's National Popcorn Day, and when Devin Booker was a rookie, Mirza Teletovic filled his car with packing peanuts. And so they posted it on National Popcorn Day with the hashtag National Popcorn Day, because in the video they said, if Teletovic had been meaner, it could have been popcorn. Which strikes me as one of the bigger reaches in social media over the past week. Hey, here's a video that could have had popcorn in it if the context of how history played out had been different.
Yeah,
exactly.
So
it's such a classic. It's so much in just basketball. It's like, imagine if this didn't happen, or if this did happen. I don't know, man. Imagine. I don't know what you're telling me. Tell me that.
As we've talked about on a recent podcast, I only have time for one what if, and it's what if Shannon Brown's dunk had gone in. But even then, I think I like it more as a missed dunk.
Yeah.
It's somehow more violent.
I'm a big fan of his block, too.
His
highlight block where he's like 12 feet off the ground.
Hell yes. Oh.
I'm pretty sure he turned it over, too, and like it was a really bad turnover. And he just sprinted down, and all adrenaline was like chin above the rim, like pinned it. And it was like, oh my goodness.
Speaking of incredible blocks, if there's anything that NBA Twitter likes just as much as a what if this didn't happen, it's a different kind of totally unnecessary hypothetical. This was what people were arguing about on Wizards Twitter today. Somebody posted, who was better, 2016 John Wall or 2022 Ja Morant? And there were like a ton of these like discussions about it. Obviously the Wizards Twitter people were biased towards Wall. Pretty much everybody else took Ja Morant. And it was just really funny to me, because it just like, it is one of those things where like every argument, sure, like every hoops argument is like worthless, like in the larger scale, but this one was so like on its face worthless, because we were arguing about whether John Wall in the prime of his career was better than Ja Morant in like the like third year of his like having this really intense arguments. Like, I did, like, y'all, it doesn't fucking matter. This is like arguing about like who was better, Pete Tracy McGrady or rookie year LeBron. It's like, who gives a shit? It doesn't we know what happens later, like, unless Ja Morant dies, then this is going.
Here's an interesting,
I will say,
go ahead, Jared.
The biggest difference between John Wall and Ja Morant is not even like their play. It's the fact that John Wall is like stone, like he's like no emotion. Right? Like John Wall is no emotion. He has to look hard all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Ja is like all smiles.
And like, is trying to dunk on like, you he's at a moment's fun. Notice.
Yeah, it's like he's having fun and it's okay.
Honestly.
And John Wall is like, if someone sees me smile, I will die.
I've got another hypothetical for you. Mm-hmm. Who's better,
2016?
Uh-oh. Wow. Folks, Joe's wife just went into labor. They're on the way to the hospital.
It was gone.
I'm going to die not knowing what that hypothetical was.
I know. I bet it was a good one.
Oh, we're back. Am I back?
Oh, there we go.
Here we go.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. It froze as I said it.
If you freeze again, I'm going to be so upset.
Who's better, 2016 Ja Morant or 2022 John Wall?
Honestly.
I want to know. You so have 2016 to go Ja Morant, Ja Morant was like freshman year, high school. That'd be like 16-year-old Ja Morant or current day John Wall.
Who would you got to go Morant because he's the only one who has successfully played a game of basketball at that age.
Yeah.
He was playing basketball in 2016, and John Wall is not playing basketball in 2022.
Based on how history has played out.
He's getting
the opposite. Correct answer. Like, now the biggest difference is their play. Because Ja did play, and John.
That's the debate I want to have.
Yeah.
But you got to give John Wall credit for collecting while Ja Morant was being an idiot and playing for free. John Wall is catching like $45 million a year to not play.
Yeah. Will we see?
Thank John you, Wall Ernie Grunfeld.
Will we see? No, I don't. No one's going to trade for him. And the Rockets aren't going to play him. In his career, probably, maybe, I think. But definitely not this year.
You don't think they'll do, like, a buyout?
No, it just seems like...
I'd have to be willing to buy it
out. I'm John Wall, I wouldn't.
Yeah,
like, I'd want my money, and they don't...
It's funny, though, like...
People complain about the situation, they seem to be kind of on the same page. Like, a lot of people have gotten pissed. I'm not sure I've seen John Wall get pissed.
He did say free me.
Oh, did he? Okay. Then
he posted like a workout video.
If he wants to play, I'd like him to play.
I think he posted some he's doing some scrimmaging and training, and then it's like hashtag free me on Instagram, which is funny because it's like you have this big contract, and I bet if you approach them and were like, hey man, I want to play somewhere else. Can we do like a half buyout?
Yeah.
Like, can I buy half of this out myself? I'm sure they'd be like, sure.
That's fine. Oh, yeah, they'd be all ears to get him.
So, like, free me, it's like, bro, I mean, you're...
Like, free Wall, yourself. I'm collecting every cent.
I'm good on that. Perhaps even free me from the shackles of capitalism and my big-ass contract. But I'm collecting my nearly $50 million a year.
100%.
Especially since possibly my favorite NBA player of all time, but even when John Wall was healthy, he got injured like 8 times a year. I can't imagine what would happen to his body if he had to play full speed NBA games nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
question two.
He's literally making $500,000, more than $500,000 a game he doesn't play. Like, that's insane money. Like,
yeah,
I would not set foot on a court. Like, I would work out and stay in shape and look the part, certainly, but I'm no way am I stepping on a court as long as I don't have to.
When he returns, will we see gang sign John Wall again, or is he over that life?
He's never over that life. If he does one successful, the only question that's actually there is, will he be successful at one action in a game? Because if he is, they're coming right back out. John Wall is that's never getting left behind.
I believe DeMar has brought out the gang sign. DeMar DeRozan is back.
Yes, and honestly. Fun. It should be. You saw, I saw a stat today that DeMar DeRozan is now officially the second fastest Bull ever to reach 1,000 points as a Bull. First is Michael Jordan in like 38 games, and second is DeMar DeRozan in like 40 games.
Yeah.
It continues to go amazingly.
Yeah, I saw an article say that this is like his career renaissance. And it's one of the first times I've, seen an article say that, and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. I think so.
What's crazy is this is a Matt Moore talking point, but it's probably is worth discussing is I'm still not dead certain who's been better this year between him and LaVine. LaVine's been absolutely absurd, and any take I had about him in the past that he wasn't going to be awesome is just rotted and disgusting now.
Yeah. I'm not even sure Bulls fans predicted how well this would be going. Like,
yeah, I don't think
there were plenty of people going like Bulls to the finals, like, and it was like, yeah. No, come on, like, yeah. They'll be pretty good, but like, no, and yeah, no. They're legit contenders.
Yeah, no, this is a team that should be going all in.
I would still put them below Milwaukee and Brooklyn at full strength, but they're not far below, and they're right there with Miami, Philly, and shockingly Cleveland all of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like Cleveland is even more shocking than the Bulls being good. Cleveland is by far the best defense in the league and is like at the top of the East.
Yeah, I think Bulls are in a situation where they have to be ready to go all in this year and be like, hey, yeah, like our championship window's right now. And I think Cleveland, I've been seeing interesting discussion amongst their fans. I think they need to be probably ready to go all in starting next year. Because it's always funny when it happens. It upsets some of the fans. They get mad, you know, like we might have to lose some of our young guys that we love. But it's funny because it's like, unfortunately, there are prices to being way better than you thought, way sooner than you thought.
Yeah, that's just how it goes.
And it's like, fuck it. When Garland's this good, Mobley's this good, Allen's this good, Okoro's flashing. Yeah. It's like you got to give it a fair shot. Wouldn't be fair otherwise.
Yeah. I think like the general consensus with the Bulls was like, this is a good start. That I think with the offseason, people were like, this is a really good start. These are good moves. And then it's like, okay, this is more than a start. Like, they are good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Caruso also was a bigger piece than a lot of people anticipated.
Yeah. I mean, the only real reason they've fallen down to earth recently is just because they have no players left. They're decimated by COVID.
Caruso's out. Levine's been out.
Caruso's first game back is today against the Cavs.
Oh, big.
And
Bulls
are, and they're winning. Coincidence?
And I think with the Cavs, it's like, yeah, they're going to be pretty good. They got a lot of young guys. But I think it's like a team that overall is so inexperienced that mm-hmm. they don't know that they're supposed to be not doing as well. If that makes sense. You know what I mean?
We were actively laughing at them before, or at least I was, before the start of the year when they said they were going to start Laurie, Mobley, and Jarrett all at the same time and have 3 7 footers on the court. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And they're like, actually, it's going to work really well.
Yeah. And it's like, they don't have, like, they haven't had that pressure that, like, I think, like, you could compare them, like, to the Hawks, like, last year.
Yeah.
Like,
pressure
like
comes next year for them.
Yeah, it's what like the Wizards Hawks were saying in the beginning of the season. What Harrell and Kuzma, no one's expecting us anything. We'll just go out there and ball. And like the Cavs are actually doing it, and the Wizards do it sometimes.
They're similar to like the, like you said, the Hawks last year, the Grizzlies, where they're in the really perfect sweet spot of the expectations haven't come yet, but the good play has.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's definitely the Grizzlies this year. It's like as good as the Grizzlies are, when they go all in next year, and when the Cavs go all in next year, it's going to be harder for them.
Yeah.
Because now you have the pressure. Now you're like locking in is different now for them. Mm-hmm. Like the Hawks are struggling this year, but they're still really good.
Yeah, they got it. They have a lot to figure out. Everyone was correct. It was a massive red flag when the Hawks started this year being like, oh yeah, sorry, it's hard to like focus in some of these games. Like, it's like, y'all haven't done enough, man. Like, had one good run and have not nearly tasted enough success to be talking about you're not flipping the switch. It's what's plagued the Wizards for years is Beal and Wall always talked about like, oh, we got to remind ourselves to not take any teams lightly. And it's like, man, you shouldn't have to remind yourselves that. Y'all aren't good enough to take any teams lightly. Y'all are not LeBron.
Yeah. Like, you can say that when you won 2 championships in a row.
Yeah, that's when you can start taking teams lightly.
You know?
Not when you're like, oh, we won 44 games last year, so we started this year kind of taking it easy. And it's like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Trey Young's literal quote was like, the playoffs are more fun. Like, it was something like that. And like, since then, right now, they're like the 12 seed in the East. They're not even in a play-in game. And since that, they were like 500 at that comment, and now they're like losing 2 out of 3. Like,
yeah. No, it's ugly down. Their defense is horrendous.
They had,
they might be making some pretty big trades. They just sat out, They just finished a game and won and sat John Collins in the stretch run of the fourth quarter. They benched him in favor of Gallinari and who was it?
That's sad to me.
That seems like such a mistake to me. Like I know the GM said that he accepted some responsibility where he was like, he was like, hey, I mean, he was mad at the players too, but he was like, yo, it's my fault. I shouldn't have run it back with this exact team. But I think he's kind of right. But like at the same time, I'm like, to me,
I would have run bring it back.
Collins isn't a problem. It's like, why the fuck is Gallinari still here, man?
Yeah. Yeah.
What does he bring?
Yeah. And like, there's like so much talk, like John Collins is frustrated. He wants out. I think the whole team's frustrated because they fucking suck right now. Yeah. Like he's going to be frustrated.
News came out that everyone but Trae Young and Capella's on the block or like available.
And that's so wild to me that of the two.
Of all people, Capella? Really? He's fine, but like he's nothing overly special when it comes to a 7-footer that can block and rebound.
You got to keep Trae and John Collins.
Yeah.
Like, are those key building blocks, but that's who people are coming to see.
Yeah. If John Collins isn't untouchable, only Trae is. There's no other guy who's untouchable if John Collins isn't.
Yeah.
And then that would be such a harsh definition. I should also would be remiss to point out, though, that part of the other great news for the Bulls that's been a nice surprise is, Ayo Dosunmu and Coby White have both been excellent over the past few weeks, and I will shout out Coby White any chance I get.
We love Coby White. Truly.
He's so good. He is the second leading scorer on the Bulls tonight with 16.
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
And also, unsurprisingly, in Caruso's first game back, he is leading the team in plus-minus.
We had a conversation on a previous episode about hoopers, didn't we?
Yeah.
About NBA players who are hoopers and who aren't hoopers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to add Giannis's name to the hooper list if we haven't already, based on this quote. So The Athletic put out their NBA 75, which I think was the top 75 of all time. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. Giannis is number 24 on that list. And he was asked about that. And the full quote is from Giannis. There are so many distractions now. You made top 75. You're number 24. You're finals MVP. You're the two-time MVP. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of the compliments. Like, okay, I know, but I just want to hoop. I just want to play basketball. End quote.
I think he is a hooper, but there's like an asterisk that comes with that. And when you go to the fine print at the bottom to connect that asterisk, it just says huge dork.
Yeah.
I do love that he also found an excuse to like list all of his best accomplishments in one quote. It's like, oh, they're coming up to me saying,
I know all that, but thanks. No thanks.
People keep coming up to me and being like, you're a finals MVP. You have a huge dick. You're really hot. And it's like, I know, but God, I just want to hoop. But at the same time, on the literal same day that came out, Stephen A. Smith said he would rather have Ja Morant than Giannis in the playoffs. Which seems like a wild take to say about the guy who just got finals MVP.
And dropped 50 after hyperextending his knee a week earlier to clinch
like,
it.
I think the comparisons between, because they were also saying, like, would you rather have Luka or Ja right now?
Mm-hmm. All three of Wilbon, Stephen A., and Jalen Rose said they'd rather have Ja than Luka.
Yeah, and it's like, as weird as that comparison still is, that's still much better comparison than him or Giannis. Sure.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Ja or the best player in the league?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'll think about it, but not too long, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, wait, just to be clear, when you say best player in the league, you mean Giannis, right? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, him.
Yeah, like, would you rather have Evan Mobley or Joel Embiid?
It's like we're talking about this year, right? You're not trying to trick me. This isn't a hypothetical for 15 years from now. utterly absurd.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the same article, he had another quote, Giannis did, about the Miami Heat, which I would call a hot take, or at least a throwing some coals on the fire, throwing some gas on the fire a little bit.
A
heat check, if you will.
Ooh.
Quote. Year seven, I'll just read the blurb here. Year seven, Antetokounmpo said as he reflected on his career. Ended with Miami. I don't make excuses as an athlete, but it wasn't a satisfying year for me because I felt like if it was a normal situation, it wouldn't end up like that. But at the end of the day, I felt like Miami was built to be an NBA bubble team, you know?
No, I'm with it. Nothing was more satisfying than the year after Miami having that run, them getting Milwaukee in the first round and just Milwaukee just obliterating them.
Yeah.
It's like games every night.
Yeah, a disgusting sweep, like a plus 100-120 scoring margin at the end of the four games. Like, that was so satisfying. It's like, this team wasn't real.
It was satisfying, but also like that was like the most non-fun series of the whole playoffs.
Oh, let me be clear. I didn't watch it.
Okay.
The result was satisfying.
Because I watched it. Like,
it was also satisfying to watch.
Games. Yeah, I watched the first few games and I was like, I don't need to watch. I've seen it all.
Like, weren't the Heat like wearing their Pacers jerseys for that series too?
They had the yellows on, for one or two of the games.
They were getting they literally tried to dress up as another team. They were getting their ass beat so bad.
Yeah.
They're like, maybe people will watch these highlights in the future and think, damn, Indiana got their shit rocked by the Bucks.
Honestly, that might happen down the line.
No, honestly, that's amazing. That also makes it really likely that Giannis is probably more on Twitter than he says he is. Like, I believe him that he's not because he doesn't have that vibe, but if you're out here calling like somebody a team a bubble fraud, then you're probably more on Twitter than next he's gonna drop like a Lay Mickey and A Disney and we'll really know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He starts tweeting by accident from his burner. But like, it's really dorky shit.
Yeah, we see a random tweet come up like from like at Bucks73822135 and it's like just says, God bless a smoothie.
Yeah, God bless. I'm 27, I'm too old for this shit.
Got him in 4K.
Yeah,
he just discovered dunking Oreos in milk a couple months ago. Some kid told him about it, and he like had to bring it up in his next press conference. He's like, "Have you guys guys knew about this and didn't tell me?" He was like,
"I love how effortlessly he switches back and forth between that guy and the guy who loves his blowjob button that he got from his girlfriend."
I don't play Fortnite. I foreplay at night. instantly
it's so funny because like he somehow like him doing that is still so wholesome. But like
it just seems like he's just like excited.
It's just child. Like it's that wholesomeness that keeps it going from like fun to like cringe. Like if any other player was acting like this, it'd be like, oh man, that's cringy. Like it's I can't watch this anymore.
No, it's so
but
good.
But Giannis, and I'm like, Giannis, I'm like, do it again.
And everyone in the league has to go out there every night and get their shit rocked by this dude. That he's going to give you like 35, 13, and 9 and just be like, well, shit, I hope we find a way to win despite it. Even his mean mugging is even cheesy. It's also hilarious. He goes for the big over-exaggerated underbite.
He learned it by watching YouTube videos of Russell Westbrook. It's a fact. He said this when he was like 19. He was like, that's where I learned that from. That's not even like a joke or anything.
have you seen the new Klay Thompson snarl?
No.
It's after like
that, after he threw down that dunk in his first game back, he kind of had a mean mug going. Yeah, is it that? Or was it a little more?
It's like it's like a snarl, like one side of his mouth, and then he did it last night after hitting a three in the corner, and it's so funny because like it seems really unnatural.
He's another guy that's like he's not a tough guy, but like and not in that way. Like he's like, kind of a goofball, kind of a dork. And we love that.
Like, so like he's in that he's in that Hooper category.
Yeah.
But I'm like my favorite Clay celebration is the big balls.
Oh yeah. I mean it's
somehow that one's more natural. Yeah.
Because it's simultaneously goofy. It's like it is. He's an assassin, but he's goofy, and the big balls, no matter who has ever done them, are amazing, but they're naturally goofy ever since Sam Cassell first pulled it out. I was explaining
is a goofy looking man and a goofy man.
I was running through some NBA celebrations the other day, discussing with some friends, and we were talking about, hey, here's some great ones, how great Big Balls was, everything like that. And it reminded me of this when you said it, Joe, about the sneer looking like unnatural, or Jared, might have been you, but where I was like, it was so funny the first time LeBron busted out his patented celebration, because you could tell it had been worked on in brand meetings for like a year and a half up towards that. And it was so practiced. It was like, just showed up one day and he's like, okay, I'm going to hit my chest a couple of times. Then I'm going to do three of the pump the crowd down. It's like, and it's a fun celebration to do. There's like no shade against it. It really is a good time. But it was so hilarious how rehearsed it was the first time it came out.
That and like when he
brought there was the a focus group that consulted on this.
Yeah, and when he brought like the chalk toss back, it's like it was like an announcement that he was bringing it back. And it's like, man, just do it. We'll see it. We don't need to tell us.
I do prefer for my celebrations to not simultaneously be PR moves.
Yeah, because like what makes them so fun is when they're like just so spur of the moment.
Yeah, that
like in a way that Clay was like, I think if I do this tonight, I'm gonna bust out the big balls.
And there's some
that's not premeditated.
There's some that are definitely rehearsed that are still like bring like more like are a bit more genuine, where it's still really fun. Like JR's Heaven's Gate is one of my favorite of all time, and there's zero chance he just came up with that after he hit a three and was like, I have to do this. But it's also just perfect.
The Lance Stevenson air guitar.
No, the Lance Stevenson air guitar, I'm fucking tired of.
Yeah, like, I'm annoyed
so done with that.
He does it after he like passes the ball too. Like it's not even like not even an assist, but like a pass, and then he'll like sit there doing it like at his own bench or whatever.
It's so tired. On
defense, man.
My celebration tastes are very much like opposite ends of the spectrum. It's either my two favorites probably all time are JR's Heaven's Gate, which is totally ridiculous, totally overconvoluted, but it's like it's so absurd, like it's not even pretending to be cool anymore, which is I think what differentiates it from LeBron's for me. To my all-time favorite, the perfection of Melo's just three to the dome is as good as it gets. That is so incredible. There's beauty and simplicity.
Is your cat chewing on your sweatshirt strings?
Yeah. Yeah, she's got some things to say.
Big Jamal Murray fan.
And Stan, how do you feel about the Jordan Poole celebrations, huh? That's what I thought. Jordan Poole is one of my favorites this year, where Jordan Poole had like an and one layup, and he's on the ground. He's like face down, and he's like super still for a second. So all the teammates run up to him. He just starts twerking. He just starts twerking. All the players near him just fucking hit him. Like, come on, man. I think that's my top celebration of the year. Gotta be Lance.
I like the moments when Giannis, I don't think they're rehearsed, but every so often he'll like get an and one on someone or something, and then like the audience audio, or people will read his lips what he's saying, and he'll like call Ben Simmons a baby, or like I'm the MVP, like all those, like all those sorts of things are hilarious to me when he gets like just wrapped up in the moment and says something that's pretty harsh. Like usually
also any version of scoring on someone and then calling them too small or a baby is perfect. And
when
Russ would drop a baby after he scored on somebody in the post, all of those are excellent. They're all so uncalled for.
You know who did a too small thing this year was Pat Bev.
Amazing.
He scored on a big, and then he's like, "You're too small."
Anybody will do them now. Guys will be doing them against guys who were taller than them, and it's like, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, like, Pat Bev doing it is just, like, that's just such a Pat Bev
thing. It's like, it cracks me up, too. Some of them kill me, though. Like, Kevin Durant will do it after hitting jumpers sometimes, and it's like, yeah, man, literally everyone is too small to block your jumper, which I understand is the point, but it's also hysterical. It's like, you're 7'1", and you're shooting a fadeaway. Like, there's not a tall enough.
Yeah.
I love
you can't, like, do that on someone.
I personally love seeing NFL wide receivers catch a ball over a DB and then do it to them in the end zone right afterward. That's my favorite use of that.
I love,
but yeah, it's like, someone like Pat Bev using it is hilarious.
It's best when you get a nice personal touch to it, where it's like, yeah, it's one thing to do it running down the court afterwards holding your hand down, like that's good. But what makes it great is when you're like still standing there with the person and you're right in front of them and you just like get really low down to the floor and like make them look like they're an inch tall. And you're like, that's disrespectful. That's what I want.
Yeah. 100%.
That's the energy of doing the, was it the Sean Kemp point after the dunk?
Yeah.
Jam all over them, just funny, point like, at him.
When people do the too small, it's so funny. I don't think we see text for that. And it's like, it's pretty fucking disrespectful. And it's for sure taunting.
Yeah, like honestly.
But you can't point at someone. Like we've had multiple texts this year of just like pointing at someone. Like Cade
got ejected for pointing at someone. He dunked.
Yeah, it was the second time he pointed at someone.
And
he said he was pointing at the bench. But someone was in the way. What you know,
the guy dunked on was in the path. Yeah.
But to be fair, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt because he was down 20. And I don't think you can dunk on someone and point at them when you're down 20. I feel like he's definitely pointing at his team in this case. Wait,
the refs are officially, after All-Star break, there's a new initiative where the refs are going to come up to any players who are pointing and inform them that they have four fingers pointing back at themselves.
Yes.
Guys just start pointing like this.
Yeah.
That's 10. Turn right at you, pal.
It's a classic. Guys are just going to start vaguely gesturing in other players' directions. Instead of pointing, they're going to be going like, look over here, look at this guy. They're going to make an outline of the guy they dunked on and mime, like, that. This is who it is. Look, he's this tall. He looks kind of like this. There's 34.
Police sketch artist on the bench, just sketching away.
We need a courtroom sketch artist for every game.
A caricature artist on the end of the bench, just like exaggerating features.
That's perfect. I would not only watch like a sketch about that, I would also sign up for that in real life so fast, where they were just doing it live and like
elevating dunk celebrations. feels like a Key and Peele sketch or something, where
that's like the next
guys wearing the hats and they get more and more elaborate.
That's the next step of who was guy who dunked over a painting of himself in the dunk contest.
Oh, I don't remember. Yeah. Shoot, I remember the dunk. I forget who did it.
It was the Jazz guy, right?
Oh, Jeremy Evans.
Oh, wait, no, maybe it wasn't the Jazz guy. Who?
Oh.
Over.
I need some research on this one. I remember the dunk.
Yeah. It wasn't a good contest. It was Jeremy Evans. Thank you.
Nice. He won that year.
Yeah, it was not a solo contest. But imagine, you got somebody like, I'm imagining it kind of Nathan Fielder style when he gets that character artist to be the king of Sting. And just you got that guy over on the side doing stuff for you're like, you run over, gesture, delay the whole game so you can bring out a character, the dunk you just did. Yeah, look how dumb this guy looks in this. We made his nose huge.
You know, if we had courtroom sketches for games, that would get me to read the paper. Like, that would get me to read sports in the paper.
100%.
Like, we need that.
Honestly, every part of it. I'm imagining it now for how good it would be if we just changed the post-game press conferences to be, like, witness examinations and added courtroom sketch artists for it. And I'm all for it in literally every realm. Imagine when, like, a reporter gets, like uppity, or when somebody does something rude or something like that, immediately they're just held in contempt of court right there on the spot. A bailiff escorts them out because Russell's mad, Westbrook's mad about a comment he got after the game. He gets treated as hostile after that.
Speaking of Westbrook, how we feel about him since the last time we talked about him?
His dunk on Gobert was pretty incredible.
He detonated on Gobert, so I'm all in favor.
Yeah, that should just be his role. But yeah.
That's what people were saying. It's like, yo, Gobert is like, that's what was so funny. They're like, he's the, like, we hear all the time, he's this unbelievable defensive player, and obviously he is. But it's really funny that for Russ, he's just a dude that no matter how shitty Russ is playing, he's going to go out there and kill him.
Yeah,
right. Be like, that's such a funny rep for like the best defensive player in the league to have is to
and
be
on
like
the wrong end of several highlights,
and that like, happens some when you're a rim protector. But it's funny that it like specifically activates a washed Russ into going out there and absolutely murdering him when he's still in his prime.
yeah.
So I don't know if like what I can't think of another example off that top of the head, like a guy who's just inspires such a ferocity in another player that no matter how good he is and how bad the other guy is, he still gets owned by him every single time.
Yeah, it's
Chris Middleton against the Celtics.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, it's like, you know, and no matter what,
test.
No matter what state the two of them are in, Chris Middleton is going to shoot 80% over four games against the Celtics.
I love the Lakers losing three games in a row, and then there's like the LeBron apology, like, we'll be better, I'm sorry. And then they win one game against the Jazz, which is a good team, but they won one game, and now everyone's like, all right, they're back. Like, he fulfilled his promise.
I loved also at simultaneously how it didn't come out that Vogel was coaching for his job until they had beaten the Jazz. They're like, no, we won't say it while he's losing, but as soon as they beat the Jazz, they were like, okay, now he's coaching for his job.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw
do you believe tweet. That though?
Yeah, I don't think any coach on a team that LeBron is on is ever safe.
Yeah, that is my thoughts exactly. Like, he should keep his job, but
if there's rumors that they're getting rid of him, then that means LeBron's either okay with it or in favor of it, which means he's not safe. Otherwise, I don't think it would come out that it was even a possibility.
Is it a coaching issue, though?
No, team stinks.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
A life like, of stink!
Yeah, it's such a roster issue. And,
I don't know if Vogel's been that good, but, like, put together a team of hurt Anthony Davis, old LeBron, and washed Westbrook, and get rid of all the role players, and then tell them to go out there and win some games. Is it really the formula?
Yeah, I mean, they're starting Stanley Johnson.
Oh, I just
also
saw
went off on Gobert.
Yes.
LeBron was telling Stanley Johnson in the game to attack Gobert. Like, Dragonfly Jones was saying on Twitter, but, like, that's wild for the best defensive player to have that in the league, to have that rep where you tell a guy on a 10-day contract to go attack him when he comes into the game.
Yeah. That's like, it's like that the Clippers series where they're just like telling Terrence Mann, like, yeah, just get the matchup. Like, switch on to him, you're fine.
Yeah, it's like, man, there's still something weird about it.
Yeah, like, he's so good, but, like, that's such a flaw. Like, that's such a notable issue.
That anybody can expose you? Like, there's something wrong.
It's not, like, just anyway, it's, like, it's any guard.
Yeah, if they're small.
Yeah, it's like he panics. It's like, once the smaller guy's on him, he, like, panics. Like, when the Warriors played the Jazz, Andre Iguodala, who is, like, not the most athletic these days. He's not like the best shooter these days. He still got it, though. He's still doing pretty good. He got switched. He got the Gobert switch. And he's standing on the perimeter. And he just does a single jab step inside. And Gobert just backs up. And just Andre's got the free three. He just wide open and makes the three. While, like, Gobert is just like, whoa, whoa. And I'm like, man, like, I thought by now they would teach you, like,
zero.
Yeah. You don't need to go out that much. It's so, like, I don't know. It's wild. Defensive player of the year.
DPO. Hey, he leads the league all time in defensive LeBron. And that's enough for me.
Okay. All right. He also leads the league in COVID scares.
Microphones touched.
Oh, man.
Joe, I feel like I cut you off early there. Did you have have other...
I was going to say the only... I saw a quote tweet of LeBron's apology that just said, oh, everybody's getting traded.
Yeah. That's very much like a you made me have to get out of bed to address this. It's like, if y'all have, I don't know if y'all have finished, you probably not because you were just watching it, but it's very, when you finish season two of The Witcher, it's very similar to a moment in, like, the final episode where it's just like, somebody's like, they handle it, but then they're like, no, nah, you're all in trouble for making me handle this.
Yeah.
I just finished episode 3. I'm excited to get through more of it.
It's so good. This is a pro Witcher podcast.
Is good.
This is a pro Witcher podcast. That's true. Yes.
Who from the Witcher, creature or human, would be the best basketball player?
Well, episode is this like, 3.
Is this show and game? Can we include game lore?
Yeah. Okay. Books, even if you read them.
Okay.
Books.
I think this is
an anti-book podcast. Books of any kind. I just watched the episode that had a lesion in it, which is like a giant tree that can shoot out vines and whatnot. And then that thing got ripped in half by some other massive, like, wooden centipede or something. And it's like, good. That was the scariest monster I've ever seen in the show. I was horrified. So either of those two, I feel like, would have some serious skills on the hardwood.
Alessian would be like a good center.
Yeah, like very solid.
Court.
I think it could space, like,
become
like,
the court.
It space the floor well.
It's basically Rudy Gobert in the fact where it's like unstoppable, except that everyone knows if you stab it in the heart with fire, it dies.
Yeah. And it will go to extreme lengths to dodge you when you're not even making that much of effort to get near.
Yeah,
I think flashing wing player to counteract the lesion.
There it is. You need someone who's on fire from outside.
Absolutely.
I think, like, underrated. I mean, like, obviously we know, like, the Witchers would likely be good after going through the mutation, something like that. But something I think would be like really underrated in terms of, like, quick twitch ability. I think a Striga would be super nasty. On the court. Yeah. I think it would be unheard of combinations of like agility and strength, like a smaller like Zion Williamson. I think a streak would be absolutely nasty. There would be some sort of like, I'm sure, dispute over getting the woman into the NBA to the men's NBA, but like it would be really, really solid like combo guard.
Yeah.
But yeah. I have a feeling would be very, very like black hole on offense. Very selfish. Not passing the ball.
How about this? This wouldn't be like the best player in the league,
mm-hmm.
but like a him, or is it a Heim? If you remember, it was like a side quest.
Oh yeah,
it's like a demon that it's like lives in your shadow.
Mm.
So yep. Let's say like the Cavs Kyrie Irving, like it can do some damage. Did in the playoffs, but also. It just lives in the shadow of LeBron.
Wow.
You know? Like
You took that away, I wasn't ready. I assumed someone who was living in a shadow would be like the best defender in the league.
Mm.
Like those like mirror type defenders where no matter what you do, they're right there. But
right.
I wasn't ready for
that. Our test of old.
Mm-hmm. Just like just, you know, really matching you move for move.
Well we could do this too. We could say like it lives in the shadow. But it's also giving you nightmares, right? So it's like,
oh yeah, mm-hmm.
Like I hate to do this to him, but Andre Robertson, great defender, my goodness, on you all the time, but that shooting, man, that's a nightmare for your own team.
Or is it? Wow, there's a lot of ways you can go with this. Is someone who lives in your mm-hmm. shadow? Is that? Do we just need to pick someone who's incredible at chase down blocks?
Okay. All
right. You know, no matter how free you think you are, he's still there right behind you.
So how about
Kirk Heinrich could go past him in the playoffs just so he could get a chase down at the rim.
Yes. Yes.
If Kirk Heinrich was in The Witcher, who would he be?
we could combine these two. We could say John Wall.
Yeah.
Got the chase down blocks. He's in your shadow. But also the team's shadow. He's always getting hurt, and that's a lot of money going to nowhere.
And the contract's a nightmare. I think that's it. I think John Wall's a Heim.
Wow.
I think probably Russell Westbrook is a Striga.
Yeah.
Is about the best comparison I could do for that.
I could see that. That's pretty good.
In terms of play style.
Who is like the witch / wizard, like magic user of the league?
Mm. I mean, the easy answer to me that jumps out seems like it would be Steph.
Mm.
Especially if we're talking like peak 2016 type Steph or something like that. Like mm-hmm. there was, especially with how they talk about like chaos, is like that was just a dude who knew how to control chaos. He'd be dribbling like it would look like he didn't even have control of the ball anymore, and then he would just launch up a three like that one against the Clippers he did.
Here's one for you. Campazzo.
Oh, hell yeah.
That passing ability is like nutty. Like
I pulled a rookie card of him today, and I was pretty pumped. Just like a regular base like rookie card. But it's him. He's like 27 as a rookie or something. It's really funny. Yeah. But it's like rookie card Campazzo. I was like, yeah, all right. I love this guy.
He had such a good nutmeg on someone. The other day, like stealing the ball, almost like jumping out of bounds and nutmegging this guy to keep the ball in. It was incredible.
Luca's done that a couple times. Like, I must be, I don't know if it's a Europe skill that gets developed or something, but I've seen Trey Young's done it a few times actually, too. I remember seeing him do it.
All right, last one.
I've been watching.
I promise I'll let us get off the Witcher talk, but this is like crack for me. Who is the dandelion of the NBA?
Nick Young.
Yes.
The song.
It's gotta be Nick Young.
Singer. Why is it Nick Young?
Because he's like, he's Swaggy P. He's the jokester.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
no, I'm like with you. Of sorts.
Plus,
I was thinking singing talent, and that's Oladipo. Yeah. I gotta find the card that I've been waiting to debut for a little while. It's really funny about Oladipo. Hold on.
Oh boy, here we go.
Oh, is it a Masked Singer card? Nick Young is also perfect because him getting snitched on by D'Angelo Russell for cheating is absolutely something that would happen to Dan.
Oh yeah. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. I'm glad you were
also there. Let's not forget Nick Young almost getting a misspelled tattoo. What was it? I don't even remember what it was.
I know he spoke up recently because somebody of the current generation adopted his no tats on the right arm strictly for buckets policy.
Yeah, and that person was me.
I know he had that policy. That's incredible.
Yeah,
strictly buckets policy is so good.
Some new guy, you know, some young player said he was doing it, and he was like, yeah, hell, it's a lifestyle.
Nick Young was tweeting about the Lakers the other day, and he was talking some shit. And he was like, he said that Westbrook is playing like Tony Snell.
Oh, yeah,
he did. Everyone was like, what did Tony Snell do to deserve this? Like Nick Young was like, no disrespect, but this man's playing like Tony Snell. And everyone's like, man, you didn't have to say that. Sorry.
I looked him up. This is the quote. What's incredible is Tony Snell actually catches a stray while he's defending Russ. He goes,
yeah,
that's why they losing. People show hate more than love. This man, Russ, is a first ballot Hall of Famer, and y'all talking about him like he's Tony Snell. Lol, no disrespect.
That it is disrespect.
It's just
that to the podcast account. Is that a tweet? I need to.
He commented it on Instagram.
Okay.
We could find it.
But yeah, everybody tweeted it out afterwards.
I found the almost Nick Young tattoo where he was getting Born Rebel tattooed across his back, and he was dating Iggy Azalea at the time, who he ended up cheating on, and she came, and the word Born was already tattooed. Rebel was outlined, and it was misspelled. R-E-B-L-E.
Maybe in an effort to be Dandelion, he was actually going for Born Treble, which would have been utterly perfect for the crossover role.
Yeah.
All right.
Here you go. This is primo Nick Young content. Malik Monk is the player who adopted the no tats on the shooting arm strictly for buckets policy. Nick Young texted him and said, I'm Mr. Miyagi. Nick Young texted ESPN about this. Said, I'm Mr. Miyagi and he's LaRusso. The power of the no tat on the right arm is like wax on, wax off for buckets. And then he tweeted at Malik Monk, may the bucket power be with you.
Oh, man.
Amazing.
Incredible.
All right. Incredible. I've got my special Oladipo card here. This is from the Panini Chronicles set. So this card in particular, it's kind of like it's a headline. And it says, pump fake doesn't work this time. And it's Oladipo.
Oh, man.
And then on the back, it's got a little description of what they mean. And I'll just read that quick. Despite speculation about his participation on the TV show The Masked Singer, Oladipo denied. But in December 2019, many were proven right as he was revealed to be the character Thingamajig. Quote, there were full-blown debates with little kids and grown human beings about why it wasn't me, he said. I hope you guys will forgive me. And that is the entire card. He's also listed at 6'4", 210.
Damn, is that right?
I've got a... I'd like to announce my newest enemy in the league.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I've been a fan of him for some time. It was Donovan Mitchell.
Okay.
Because I saw him in commercials for the new Spider-Man movie. Talking about, am I in Spider-Man? He's not. Spoiler alert, he's not in the new Spider-Man movie. Don't lie to me like that, Donovan Mitchell.
When I went to see Venom 2, I wore my Donovan Mitchell Venom brand spinoff shoes to the show. In a show of support, which is I've had my ups and downs with Donovan, but the Spidey themed shoe releases have all been fire.
They have been, and like not crazy expensive, which is awesome.
Yeah, no, very nice. Unlike the next shoes I'll be going for, which are the Jordan Ruiz, which are going to be I think $225, which I'm not psyched about.
Oof, are those going to be like limited release too? Is that going to be like?
Yeah, I think I actually probably won't. I shouldn't even worry about spending the money because I'm almost certainly not going to successfully get them. But
if you try to get an NFT of them,
yes, I'm just going to open the sneakers app and where I'm just going to screenshot it and then bang, I'll just sell that for way more than the shoes are going for.
There you go. Foolproof.
Look, as long as you have a screenshot, someone else has got them.
You have
right?
them.
Like that's,
I'm, you going, got them. I'm going that's to it. Take that screenshot of somebody else has got them, send it to Nike and say, hey, where are mine? I have them. I bought this.
Yeah.
My or, property yeah. now.
I
have the going, rights to reproduce this.
Yeah, now that I've bought this, I am going to drop my own line of Jordan shoes.
Yeah.
I've got a new friend, NBA player friend here. You had an enemy. I have a newfound friend. Okay. It is Doug McDermott. Who I believe is on the Pistons now, right? Can anyone verify what team Doug McDermott is on? My new friend.
I thought he was still on the Spurs. Yeah,
He might still be on the Spurs. Okay, he's a Spur.
He's a Spur.
The reason I thought maybe Pistons is because he had to quarantine in Detroit earlier this month. Mm. They must have been in Detroit when they entered health and safety protocols. So this is a tweet. It says, Doug McDermott said he basically reached the end of Netflix during his six-day quarantine in Detroit earlier this month. Pressed for a recommendation, said he enjoyed Emily in Paris.
Oh, boy.
He then said, I can't believe I just said that, muttering as he walked out of the press room.
Oh.
I hope that when he said it, he said, Emily in Paris. I feel like that's some shit Doug McDermott would do coming out of a long quarantine.
Yeah, I mean, I believe
six
that.
6 days of maybe only Netflix in not your hometown, not even your like home team town. Yeah. Basically, probably stuck in a hotel for 6 days straight. Can't leave the room. Whom among us wouldn't watch Emily in Paris?
I gotta say, I'm all the way with you. With the exception that he had the option to binge watch The Witcher like 40 times, not 40 times, like six times.
He said he reached the end of Netflix, so I assume he already watched The Witcher. But the fact that he didn't recommend The Witcher over Emily in Paris is concerning.
I'm putting the blame on him for just not restarting it after he watched it. I once had a 3-day weekend in college once, and right when I got to the beginning of 3-day weekend, I ran the numbers and I found out that I could watch How to Train Your Dragon approximately 48 times over the next 3 days. So I had my plans. Doug has got to attack this more numbers.
How many times did you do it? I need to know.
Like three.
Three? Hey, everyone has their limits.
But I didn't switch to Emily in Paris afterwards.
That's only because it wasn't available to you.
Yeah. All right, you got me.
I had a free entire day Saturday in college once. Many times, but this particular once, watched all three Matrix movies consecutively, all for the first time. That was a delight.
Hell yes. My real...
Three that were currently... There's a new one coming out very soon. Yeah. That was obviously not available to me 10 years ago either.
My only real one, if I was going to bring up the actual binging, would have been in our first semester of college. Myself and my buddy watched in that semester The Incredibles well over 100 times on a 19-inch TV, including at sometimes like 5 times in a day because it would just end and restart immediately. I've seen that more than just about anyone has seen anything, I think.
Okay, a couple questions.
What led to this?
Okay, so my buddy, I hung out in my buddy's dorm room a lot. That's where we do a lot of chilling. And he was the type of guy who, A, liked to always have something on. No matter what was going on, something had to be on TV. And two, he had this 19-inch TV with a built-in DVD player, and he only owned like 4 DVDs. So our options were we could watch Return of the King Extended Edition, which is dope, but it's like 5 hours at once. We could watch The Incredibles. We could watch, maybe he had 5, because we could watch Chronicles of Riddick. We could watch the movie In Time with like Justin Timberlake and Amanda Seyfried or something like that. Or we could watch season 2, disc 2 of George Lopez. Amazing. So rest assured, we watched all of these a lot, but Incredibles was his favorite. And before he even got to college, he could quote the entire movie without it being on. So that's what stayed on the most. And yeah, no, like I can't get an exact number because it would be impossible, but I can conservatively promise that we watched it well over 100 times in the first semester of college.
This got to be like the most neurodivergent shit I've ever heard.
I'm like, I talk to my therapist, they're like, were there ever any signs? I'm just like, no.
Hey, did you ever notice anything different growing up? Nah, I just like The Incredibles, man.
My childhood was incredible, if you know what I mean. No, I don't.
I did have a habit of doing that with movies when I was younger, too, with other ones. So.
My goodness, you got my cat all riled up about this.
19-inch TV is very small. Was the reason he had it because it had the DVD player built in, mostly?
I suppose so. That was nice, but it also was just like, what's really funny is when you consider that at UNC, actually, you at the time, I don't know if they still do it, I assume so, they gave you in, like, your cable hookup in your room, you got, like, HBO and, like, Stars and stuff for free.
Wow.
So, like, we were could have just had the TV on, like, watching stuff. But it was a very classic, like, this is what you show up to college with when you don't got anything else type deal. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we didn't use the premium channels that much until, like, you know, late at night when they throw on the softcore porn.
Mm-hmm.
We got UNC. Maybe. That's your recruiting pitch. You go to UNC, you get Skinemax, baby.
Okay.
For free. Hook up in the room.
Oh, man.
But the negative part of that recruiting pitch is one time I woke up and my roommate was watching it while I was asleep.
Oh, no.
Horrifying. Oh. Did your friend have a roommate that...
Yes, he did. He watched
this.
He was right there with us for most of it, but occasionally we'd lose him for a few weeks at a time.
Because he was out watching Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
Oh, when Incredibles 2 came out, it was a big moment. We had to do a group meetup. We actually, when we first watched it, we did not catch it in theaters. We sat together and we decided that first watch, we do entire way through, no one speaks. And then as soon as it ends, we'd restart it. And you'd be allowed to talk during the second viewing as things came up.
Wow.
It was a very big day.
That's like a dream movie viewing, truly.
Yeah.
100%. I need to watch movies that way from now on.
It was very important.
We will watch this two times. Give them the ground rules beforehand.
We weren't even allowed to speak like during the credits of the first watch viewing. It was once the second one starts, we can comment on things as they come up.
Where you were like, I need to cough or sneeze, but I can't because they.
It was tough because, I mean, there was some exciting stuff when Jack is fighting that raccoon. I mean, we were dying. We wanted to talk so bad, but we knew the rules. And luckily we had like four burritos sitting in front of us that's where the
four each, right?
Yeah, of course. That's where the talking
in. Were there like repercussions for if you did talk?
You know, what's like, funny is
get in trouble.
I'm certain there would have been, but here's the thing. We're definitely the type of group who would have had those, except we were so certain no one would break the rules.
Okay.
If we had like outsiders there who we thought would do something, then yeah, we would have had to have laid down some groundwork. But also we just, with just us, we knew that these were going to be followed.
That's trust. Okay. That's friendship.
Absolutely.
That's love.
That's incredible.
That's Incredibles.
So yeah, anyway, shout out Brad Bird. Shout out.
Okay.
let me give it up for all my guys.
Amazing.
Wow. I respect it. Should we wrap up soon after some We need to go off topic like this way more often, honestly. Yeah. Like, this is the best.
Okay, solid, because I was about to do a big
meal. No, this is prime. Like, this is when we're in our prime. Ben Simmons trades.
Title of our episode. Yeah. There's been a couple trade things floating around that get made public. This is what teams offered for Ben Simmons, and they're pretty good. And the Sixers are basically shrugging it all off, and I don't know why.
So, do y'all have a favorite trade? Do we all agree on which trade we would take, or like which proposed Ben Simmons trade is the one you want?
Pistons one was pretty great.
What
was it? It was Sadiq Bey.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was three good young players and at least one first round pick for Ben Simmons.
Yeah, let me find it.
Not even close. And it seems like it should be pretty close.
I think my favorite so far has actually been the Kings.
Yeah, hold on. So the Pistons one was trade offer of Jeremy Grant, Sadiq Bey, Kelly Olynyk, and a first round pick for just Ben.
Just Ben, yeah, wow.
That's pretty good.
It's really.
Jeremy Grant is an all-star.
The Sixers were not excited.
So tough for me, like, to like understand this. Like, I'm really, every day that passes, I'm more and more convinced Morey's going to fuck this up, because it's like, I understand y'all think you can't get like equal value for him or whatever. But like, what I'm seeing from these trades is trades that like, you make them and you can absolutely win a title. And the Sixers, without making any moves at the deadline, are not winning a title this year. If the Sixers add three legitimately good players who fit in well with the roster, they absolutely can.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
I don't
then, the Kings says, apparently, according to Keith Pompey, Kings weighed a trade package of Buddy Hield, Tyrese Halliburton, Harrison Barnes, and two first-round picks for Ben Simmons, Matisse Thybulle, and Tobias Harris. And the Sixers showed no interest.
That's pretty good, too. That's offloading both of those giant contracts. You lose Thybulle, but you get Halliburton.
Yeah, like, the Kings offering up their best prospect for, like, no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And two picks. Like Hield, Halliburton, and two picks is great. And Barnes is good this year. Like, he's still a good role player.
Yeah, he'd fit perfect there.
And they said they're trying to package Simmons and Harris.
I don't get it. I didn't get it ever since they turned down that initial Pacers one of Brogdon, somebody, and a pick.
I was going to look that one up too. Hold on. Pacers.
You think Miles Turner is not going to be a good fit on the Sixers. I was going to say like Brogdon, Miles Turner, and a pick or something.
No.
It sounds like they're shopping Sabonis too,
and that's the thing. Like, Sabonis would be awesome if they're
shopping everyone.
Yeah, and but they just don't seem to have the interest. And it's like, man, Sabonis is a really fucking good player.
Sabonis is like a player that, like, anywhere he ends up is great. You know what I mean? Like,
he's averaging like 20.
There are players
12.
That like, there are players that. They're really, really good, like borderline all-star, but sometimes they just don't make sense on a team.
Mm-hmm.
When he's like perfect for anyone, like
yeah, absolutely,
he'd help any, like, it's like perfect. Like, send him to the Rockets, it's perfect. Send him to the Kings, it's perfect. So send him to the Clippers, it's perfect. Like, anywhere is like great.
The market's been really fascinating to me, and I'm not sure, you can let me know if this is a hot take. I know we hate hot takes on this podcast. The trademark's been really fascinating to me because, like, everyone seems so zeroed in on Jeremy Grant, and I would much rather have Sabonis, especially if prices are even remotely close to each other.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, Jeremy Grant's a solid dude, but he's I don't think he's Sabonis at all.
He's not. I mean, and granted, he's a different player, but still, that's different levels. They're different levels still.
I've got Sabonis solidly like a tier above him as a player.
I think that, like,
it's like should be a no-brainer all-star at this point. Like, yeah, it shouldn't even be close. Like, he shouldn't be on the bubble of the all-star team anymore. He's like all-star every year until he stops averaging 20 and 12. Like,
yeah, I think the Jeremy Grant hype is like, this is not a knock on him because he is really good. Like, he's great. It's like once it came out that the Lakers were interested in him, everyone was like, oh, well, if the Lakers think he'll fix them, everyone wants Jeremy Grant then. It's like, it's a race for Jeremy Grant. You know, like, it's like once one team wanted him, every team wanted him. Or it was rumored that every team wanted him. And it's like, now it's just this great race for Jeremy Grant. And it's like, I don't, that's also not the answer to the Lakers issues. Maybe.
Yeah, you know, no, the Lakers are not one
it's like the Warriors when two or three years ago the Warriors like they're kind of interested in trading for this prospect and everyone's like don't let them do that. Get them first.
Oh god, it's over if the Lakers get Jeremy Grant.
Yeah,
I do. That is still my pipe dream. I know I've said it on here before. My pipe dream is I want Sabonis to get on the Warriors, just because it would be beautiful, and dominant. Just to watch the basketball that happens,
like Wiseman for Sabonis or something.
I think I know a lot of like it's always polarizing, like whether you trade prospects, but I think the Warriors should if Sabonis is really gettable and it's reasonable, I think they should be open to moving like any of their young guys for him because, I do believe pretty heavily in the your window is open, try to win a title. You've got Steph, Clay, and Dre. They're getting older. The time to win is now. Don't mortgage your future, but Sabonis, you could win the title this year.
And also,
Wiseman and a late first-round pick for Sabonis not bad.
You might have to add another prospect. You might have to.
Yeah, I think it's Wiseman and the cum bucket.
Nah. Cumbucket's doing better now.
No, he's good. He is good. That's giving up something of value. I have faith in him, but it's like I think if it comes down to it, give up two prospects for Sabonis.
Yeah, and also the Warriors also do need to think about their future because these guys are gonna get older, but it's like Sabonis is 25.
Yeah, yeah, you're not trading for a guy who's over the hill.
There's time for future included in that, you still got Jordan Poole. You're still gonna be good at drafting.
All right, Wiseman and Damian Lee.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah,
but if you do it, Sabonis inherits Lee's layup ability.
Is it worth it?
Oh man, he still misses a layup a game. It's so incredible.
What is it with guys with the last name Lee and missing layups? And no, I will never, ever let that Courtney Lee layup in the Magic Lakers finals go.
Fair. That's fair. So, we say this every week. Is Ben getting traded before the trade deadline?
I think he is. I think the Sixers.
Also, I saw something about
their window now. Can't afford to let him sit the whole season. Like, he's an asset that can get them a lot of stuff to win a championship in the next couple of years. It's pretty much wide open this year. There's teams near the top, but there's five or six teams in each conference that legit could make the finals. And that doesn't happen every year.
Tough for everyone. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw something also about I don't know how credible it was, but I don't remember where I saw it. It was by someone who was legit reporter, but it was that James Harden is open to being traded. Also open to relocation and is still cool with going to the Sixers. He'd want to do that.
Yeah. That was going to be my sign off was the Bucks are fine. Brooklyn's on the way down, and I still think the Bucks are the top team in the East, even though they're they've also been decimated by COVID, but they just won. They beat the Grizzlies today. And when Giannis, Middleton, and Drew Holiday all play, they're 17-3.
Yeah. I don't have any concern about that team as long as they're healthy at the come playoff time.
Wes Matthews again and added, like, it's Dante's back. If Brook Lopez comes back this year, it is a deeper team than last year.
Joe's loss on Monday, though. That Monday loss was tough.
Yeah, that was a bad. Was it the Hawks? Yeah, the Hawks came back.
That was a comeback win. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a bad loss.
It was fun. Like, just as a game, it was like, that was a fun game, but that's a game. I mean, they're missing Drew for sure.
As long as they don't play the Hornets at any point, they cannot seem to beat the Hornets ever. In the last, like, 2 years, they can't beat them.
Joe is, you got it. You heard it here first, though, folks. Joe is on record saying it is officially scary hours for the Eastern Conference.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucks will not lose a game after Joe's child is born.
Okay. They will refuse to lose.
Winning streak.
Engage. So get your wins in now, Hawks. Because
yeah,
good luck.
In roughly a week.
Oh well, okay. Do we want to wrap it up? Or do we have anything else?
I don't.
Okay. Oh boy. Well, we'll be back next week, possibly without Joe. We will have to call in sub off the bench.
Due date is next Tuesday, so that's
we're gonna have to start signing some guys to some 10 days.
Yeah,
Joe it's becoming some, the next official podfather
going in here.
Yeah, so we'll keep it going, but we'll probably be without Joe for a few weeks at least.
But
we'll be joining the Carmel Dads Club.
Yes.
Finally.
Joe is wearing a Dads Club basketball jersey.
It's real. It's shout out to Carmel, Indiana. Shout out to Indianapolis, Indiana suburbs. It's a real, like, relatively prestigious intramural team made up of dads. I got this jersey at a thrift store, wore it to pick up basketball, and several guys were like, "Where'd you get that? Are you a dad?" They're all questioning me. It's like, nah, it's just a reversible jersey I found at a thrift store. They're like, oh, that's a big deal, man.
This is going to be the only time that there's been like a shout out to Indiana and it's not been problematic.
a shout out been, like, to Carmel, Indiana.
Yeah.
Yep. We'll get Brent back on here someday and he can cancel me for what I just said, for all the problems that Carmel, Indiana, and the suburbs of Indianapolis, I'm sure, have. But that's fine.
Yeah.
But, I'm pre-canceling myself for a few weeks to make a glorious comeback.
That's what it is. Yeah. Oh, we'll be sure to have we'll get some guests. We'll get some bench players in here.
Yeah, absolutely. Some worthy bench players just chomping at the bit to get some starting minutes.
We're going
to
see if we can effectively fill Joe's minutes at a lower price. Mm-hmm. And then maybe flip him while his value is high on the trade market.
Hey, yeah. Trade deadline is coming up. So
in the end, it is
a business. So
if you get him soon, he comes with an extra person.
Package deal.
Yeah. Here's my final shout out. Shout out to Jarrett Allen, who I just found out, whenever he scores at home, it plays a Zelda sound effect. Apparently, he's like a big Zelda head and collects Christ. Like Legend of Zelda memorabilia and like has like the Hawaiian shield and shit like that.
Hell yeah.
So, shout out to Jarrett
Allen. Just adding to the Jarrett Allen lore of why we love
Jarrett. Jarrett Allen lore. There are a few players with good lore in the league, I would say.
Done.
Robin Lopez being number one.
100%.
Will, you have a last shout out?
I just want to remind everybody that no matter who's here or how long Joe's gone, he's still gonna love our audience. He's gonna love all of you.
Mm-hmm. That's the big takeaway, is that that while we're here and while we're not here, we do love you. And that's that.
Thank you very much.